Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast.
And I'm Juliana.
And we're here today with a friend of ours named Alan Walder. He is an entrepreneur out here in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Alan, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hey, Trevor. Hey, Juliana. Thank you for having me.
So it's really cool to be here and to be able to network with so many entrepreneurs. What brought you to Chiang Mai in the first place? Why did you come out here?
Well, I was living in Vietnam before, and we were missing a bit the community of entrepreneurs and digital nomads. We were living in La Trang at the beach, and we did not have many people to hang out. And Chiang Mai was the biggest place for digital nomads and entrepreneurs in Southeast Asia, so the decision was relatively easy. We wanted really to be surrounded with other people and be really pushed in our business. So that's why we made the decision to come to Chiang Mai. Right.
Have you met a lot of good people out here?
Definitely. I've actually been living here for a little bit more than 1 year.
So
it's been pretty good. So there are a lot of meetups. And I'm also part of this community called Dynamic Circle, with a lot of them also living here.
That's the guys with the Tropical MBA podcast.
Exactly. But it's definitely a different period of time. You know, now, October, November, a lot of them coming into Chiang Mai because it's cold in US, it's cold in Europe. But if you were here and during the summer, there are much less people, you know.
Yeah. You said we. Who's that other person?
Oh, so I came here with my fiance. She's also running an online business focused on education consulting.
Okay.
And so she was the person that inspired me actually to leave my finance corporate job and also start this entrepreneurial journey.
So let's go back in time a little bit and talk about that. So how did you go from a corporate finance job to thinking about starting an online business and traveling and stuff like that?
So yes, I was working in private equity till mid-2014, and things starting to go a bit less well at my job. Started to be a bit unsatisfied with my boss and partners, I think like many people are. And my fiancé actually was already doing online business for 1 year.
Oh.
And I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, to be my own boss, and I had like bigger vision for my life as well. And also wanted to enjoy on the way and not only work like investment banking hours. So we actually left for Bali, where we spent like 6 months in Bali, where I started my SEO agency with a very good friend of mine, Asha. And after some time, I figured out I did not like to deal with clients so much, the client's request, and it was almost like back to being in a job, but this one, a job that I did not like, whereas the previous one, I actually liked it. So, and then I found poker, and started to play online poker, had some good success, and then made the transition to playing live, played in Manila, played in Las Vegas, the World Series of Poker this year.
Wow.
And but poker is a very ups and down journey, so I wanted also some more stable income on side, and I started like a FBA business focused on the European markets, and now I'm looking into dropshipping to complement my FBA business.
Nice.
So what got you to start an FBA business specifically? Did you take any online course or meet some people that taught you how to do it?
Actually, I never actually thought about FBA when I was meeting people and they were saying they do FBA. I thought, oh, this is strange, what they do, it's like little business. It did not seem really inspiring to me. But then I had a meetup with like Dynamic Seekers members here in Chiang Mai, and it was like 10 people and all of them were doing FBA. And so of course the whole evening was about FBA, and we really got inspired with their journey and what they were doing. And once they say that actually they just sold, one of them just sold this business for $500,000, the number really bumped in my head. I say, oh, I want to do that. I want to do it. It was been working on an FBA business for like 2 years and sell it for $500,000.
Yeah,
oh hell yes,
years,
I want to do that. So
it's incredible.
I got very interested, but did not launch directly because I was very busy like playing online poker tournaments and tournaments around the world. And really now, 3 months ago, I really decided to take on the journey. So
it kind of opened up your mind to it, like
definitely,
you know, other possibilities. Can you explain a little bit like where you started and like where your journey took you and how you ended up in Chiang Mai, like all the different countries that you have visited?
Well, I was in Switzerland, and then we moved to Bali, moved to Vietnam, and then was 1 year in Vietnam, was now 1 year in Thailand.
Yeah.
And we actually want to move back to Europe to be close to the family, and apparently in Las Palmas, Gran Canaria, there's a big community of digital entrepreneurs and nomads. So then we will be moving there, and maybe thinking about Austin, Texas also for the second part of 2017.
Smart.
Yeah, that's where the Dropship Lifestyle headquarters are, so that's kind of cool. Yeah,
okay,
that's
where
they're located.
Yeah, did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that.
Okay. Oh, wow, why Austin, Texas?
Yeah, well, I have some friends living there, and a friend did his exchange semester, but we also saw that it's maybe the biggest community for entrepreneurs, right? Many are moving out of Silicon Valley and other places to come to Austin, Texas to launch the business. So that sounds really inspiring.
There's a huge entrepreneur community out there as well, so that's a good idea.
Have you been there yourself?
I haven't been there myself. I just heard a lot about it. So
that was one of our places we thought about moving.
Johnny FD also, I think he moved his address out there into his old thing.
I'm interested to hear about Bali. Like, I do hear that there's a lot of co-working spaces there. How is the digital nomad community out there?
So we stayed in Ubud, the center of the island. They have a great co-working there called Hubud, and what I really appreciated is that it's where I started my location independent journey, and they had a lot of mastermind and meetups, and they managed to like have some people, pretty respected people in the community, come to talk, give workshops, and it was always, you always meet people every day because the internet in Bali is not good, so you have to go to the co-working to work during the day. So you're always meeting with people, always going out, and
that's good to know because we're gonna go there at the end of this month. So we were wondering. I heard the traffic is really bad. Is that true?
Well, in Ubud, it's a pretty small village, you know. I wouldn't say the traffic is too bad. I'll just say plan more time to go to the airport because sometimes they might close the road for like a ceremony or something like that.
Whoa.
The full road is blocked, you know.
You gotta walk.
But, you know, after 6 months in Bali, you start to get a bit like bored because it's still a little village, you know. So.
Right.
That's why afterwards we moved to Saigon, which was like bustling city.
So can you talk a little bit about the SEO consulting agency that you started up? It was your kind of first venture into being location independent, creating a business like that, which is really cool. But what was it about it that turned into like a worse day job than you'd had before that? Like what part of it made it so bad? And can you just go into depth about that?
Yeah, well, first what attracted me to SEO was all about the analytics, you know, making all the research and calculation. And I actually met a very great person in Bali, an Indian guy who has like one of the top SEO experts, and he wanted to go into the Swiss market but did not have the language skill and skills to deal with people. So we were partnered, and he was doing the background and I was doing more the contact with customer, the front end, and dealing with all that. So I was dealing with a lot of complaints, of course, of customers and a lot of things like that. And
how did you guys get business? What was your sales? How did you get contracts with small businesses? Who were you selling to? Small businesses, right?
Yeah, I was doing a lot of cold calling. We were focused on very specific industry like real estate, financial industry, develop case studies specific on this industry. Then we'll go to other companies in this industry and show them, look, we already did the website for you and your competitor. This is a case study, and of course they will get very interested.
What was that process? Was it like a lot of trying to reach out by phone or email, and then did you actually meet up with them in person, or did you just talk to them over the phone? Or
that was the problem with the business, and that's why at the end I ended, because at some point they want to contact in person, you know, at certain times of contract, you know, certain price of contract, and I did not see myself going back and forth to Switzerland every month, you know, so. That's why it's kind of ended the venture at some point.
So yeah, it sounds like it was great to start with because there's a high margin with that kind of a business, right? And you're obviously selling the services, so all you have to really pay is whatever the salary is, and then whatever the costs for the hardware and the software. But it sounds like it also takes a lot of your time.
It's a very high opportunity cost in terms of your time, definitely. Yeah.
Would you, if someone else out there is trying to start an online business or considering like which business model to start, would you suggest that as a good way to start like an online business, or would you suggest starting with something else, like a different business model?
That really depends on the person and what skill he has. I think a great way to start small is maybe with affiliate sites, you know, that don't cost so much. Maybe there's a product you like, can do some videos, reviews about it and promote in that way. And it's going to help you also understand about everything about online marketing, how to do Facebook, how you do PPC, how you do SEO, you know, things like that. But if you already have a skill, you know, and that you really need money right now, then you need to be able to sell your services, start with freelance and develop it more into like business, you know.
So it's the SEO consulting thing is kind of like freelancing, but on a bigger scale, right? It's sort of creating a bigger business out of a freelance thing. And so that I think it's where a lot of people want to start, but they want to grow. They want to create that agency business model. Were you guys outsourcing a lot of the work to different workers and stuff like that?
Yeah, I was outsourcing. I had developers in Philippines. And I have some customer support in Bulgaria. I was dealing with the German part of Switzerland.
So it's a worldwide company, really, if you think about it, yeah. It's just amazing how easy this is to start now, because back in the 80s and 90s, I mean, doing something like this, an agency, an SEO consulting agency, would just be so insanely difficult. You'd be dealing with people over the phone, and, you know, I mean, it's kind of like harkening back to the newspaper days or the magazine days when they were doing advertising and stuff like that, you know. Most things were just local, and now it's so easy to expand across the world. And how long did it take for you to start this company up? How difficult was the startup process before you started making money?
Oh, I think it took maybe 1 month or 2 months.
Yeah,
something
so
like
that's
that.
Yeah, incredible too. Just that's really cool.
So how long did that company last?
It was around 9 months, okay. Something and like that. It was still running, was still making money, but I just had no heart for it, and yeah. I was making more money with poker, so.
So during your SEO venture, you started playing poker online? How do you do that? Because for me, I think like a professional poker player, they go to Vegas, right? That's what I think. So how did that work?
Well, if you want to be good in poker, you need to accumulate a lot of experience. And online, you can play much more hands. In 1 year, you can play what a professional player would play in Las Vegas during 10 years. You know, you can get 1 million of hands played in during 1 year. So I think online was really good to get all the analytics, all the strategy planned out. And then afterwards, when I was very confident, I made the transition online and integrated like new areas into my game, reads and things like that. So nowadays, I much more enjoy playing live, and online is such a hassle.
So how does that work? Do you have like a webcam and they can see your face when you're playing poker, or is it just completely like you
it's
can't see
anybody? On the computer screen.
It's complicated.
Yeah,
complicated.
It's like a computer game, sort of, or
kind of. You download the software and create your username, put some money in it. But Americans cannot really play online poker. You know, it's been banned in the U.S.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So
okay.
It used to be easier because the American, known as a big fish, you know.
Yeah.
They were putting a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it used to be much harder to make money online. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's really interesting. So at what point did you decide to kind of like quit that? Was it because you were losing a lot of money, or was it like one big loss, or like what kind of made you change from that to starting like a solid long term online business?
Well, I'm still playing poker regularly, but yeah, I had the vision in the long term to run an investment fund.
Okay.
And my hope was to make the money from poker, and it hasn't happened so far, you know. So my idea was to develop another business that have FBA business, dropship business, that I could sell 1 or 2 years down the line for, I don't know, $500,000,
yeah.
And then put the money into an investment fund. And what I see myself is not running business in the long term, but running an investment fund full time.
Yeah,
I need a plan how to accumulate the starting capital.
Gotcha. So you transitioned, then started doing the day trading thing you were talking about, right? Or can you talk more about that? It was options, or how
options?
Are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. So option is the closest I think that you can find to poker, because there is a precise like amount that you risk. You have a precise amount that you can win,
right.
And you get the specific odds. You get the specific probability. And you're just placing almost like bets, but opposite to the casino, where when you place bets, the casino has an edge and you will lose money in the long term. In option trading, you put the edge in your favor. So for instance, the market overestimates volatility and you get paid for that. And then by doing that, you use a strategy that works like an insurance, you know, where I sell option and making money because I put the probabilities in my favor. instead of having a 50-50, market goes up, market goes down, you can work your way to have like 70% chance of winning, you know.
And you use the calls and the you're basically betting against it and with it at the same time. It's sort of an insurance option, right? Is that how it works? I think they're called like butterfly
options.
There's some terms. We took a course. We mentioned this a while back, actually, in another podcast that we did with Johnny F. D. But we went to a Rich Dad Poor Dad seminar, and one of them was on options trading. It was really interesting. It was way over our heads, but it was really interesting.
It's very overwhelming when you start into that. It's like a new language, a new things, and you don't really want to place money without really knowing everything, you know. So.
But I did get a brokerage account, and I got approved for margin, and we were going to do the options, and then right about that time we started making money with dropshipping.
Well, if you want to go back into option trading as a side income, then we should discuss outside of the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah, we could learn some stuff.
Yeah, so that's in the future, you know. It's the world is filled with so many opportunities and like different things you can do
Definitely.
To have fun and make some money, you know, having fun. So it's part of the process. So when did you sign up for Dropship Lifestyle? When did you take the training course?
I think I did it last year.
Last year?
I was a bit of a slow period. I think we spoke and I took it last year, look at different opportunities, and suddenly things starting to accelerate with poker again. And
how was your experience with the course? Was it a fun course to take? Did it like,
but you know,
was
I did
it slow,
it
or?
1 year ago, so it's difficult to remember everything. So I took a lot of notes down, and I'm not sure if the course has upgraded now, if it has some new content.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, we pay pretty close attention to what they're doing. They shut it down.
They're about to launch 5.0.
I think they shut it down just yesterday, and they're going to add more content to it. In a couple more months, it's going to be launched again, and you get access to that because you're a part of it. So, and like anybody else who buys it gets access to the new content when it gets uploaded, which is really cool. It's a nice system. So it's just like a lifetime access thing when you get it. So, and the price is going up for the other people that don't
get in.
So it's cool. So we took Dropship Lifestyle in May and this year, and we were really happy with it. So like for our business, we had a dropship business before, and then we sold it, but we didn't know how to start another one. So it was trying to figure it out. We had, you know, just a hard time doing it. Had no idea what we were doing. And we took the course, and then we kind of got lucky and we were able to get back into the niche. But then we decided, because we've like learned specific things about how to do it right from the course, like we were actually able to do it right. So I just was wondering, was there anything about the course specifically that you learned that is going to help you think in the future with your new dropship ventures?
Well, I mean, the research is really a big thing, you know, the research of the niche. If you don't get, like similar to Amazon, you know, if you don't get your niche correctly, you might put all the efforts into it, but then you might not make so much money, you know. So how the criteria that they use, and how to find competitors, and how to find other dropship store, how to find the brands that sell, and really makes the process really of starting and researching much easier.
Do you have any experience with web design yourself? Like you did the SEO agency thing, right? So did you do the websites back then? Or?
I did not do the website. Okay. So
have you ever like messed with Shopify before yourself?
I never did.
Okay. It's okay because Shopify is really easy as far as like web design goes, so I think it should be a pretty easy process for you to get started up. So can you talk a little bit about the dropship thing that you're going to start up that we were talking about earlier, and like not go into too much specifics about your niche, obviously, because you don't want other people to copy your niche, but like let's talk about where it's going to be. You said the European market, right?
Yeah, definitely. So similarly to my FBA business, I thought the market in the US is really crowded, and it's really harder and harder to really get well positioned, and then if you want to run the ads and everything, it also costs more expensive. So by focusing on the European market, I can do much cheaper promotion. With the SEO, I have a real chance for ranking in the top 10 for some very, very big keywords. And even for the volume is lower, I think if also it plays into my strength in the European market, because I do speak German, I do speak French, I do speak Spanish, I do speak English. So
wow.
I can really like build a store for every single country, so of those four countries.
So you're thinking about doing like sub niches, but specifically for each country?
Yeah, we'll start with the UK, because I think the UK is the market that is most ready for dropshippers. Looking into Germany, I think it was difficult to find people who already dropship in my niche, so definitely look in the UK, and after some success, and extend to maybe Germany, and then after France, and we'll see afterwards. I think maybe Spain might be a bit too much cost, too much time investment for what the reward can be. So I think really the three markets, UK, Germany and France, are the most profitable there.
So what are there any like downsides, risks, things that you think are drawbacks for starting in the European market? I mean, you talked about the lower quantity of like people looking for the products as opposed to the US, but are like the tax systems differently set up, or like how, you know, there's less suppliers too, like anything else that you can think of? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's when you deal with different suppliers, it's good to speak their own language, you know. So if you do in Germany, it's good to speak in German. You will have to deal with clients in German and everything. Right. So this gives like a barrier of entry for like Americans, other people to enter the European market.
Sure.
So which for me as European, speaking other language is a great opportunity. So that I have less people that will compete with me in the future.
And you said that there weren't too many competitors already, right, in your niche in those markets. So do you think that might make it, is that, that's probably like a pro and a con, right? Because the pro would be like that you're kind of the first to market as far as like the online store thing goes, but the con might be that it's going to be harder to start.
Yeah, it might be a flop or that sort of thing, but if you can be first in the market and then position and manage to have the brands and on board, and there is a really great opportunity before other people see that it's working and they can replicate it. So yeah. I will have also better SEO ranking and better position.
So I know it, like in the US, the US is separated by states, right? And each state has their own like reseller's permit. How does that work in Europe? Do you have to get a reseller's permit in like the country that you're in order to sell it there, or?
I'm not so sure about it, so I only started with the German market. I guess I need to find out.
Yeah.
At the beginning when I was doing the SEO, I was worrying too much about this thing. If I need a permit, how do I need to pay tax? But you know, as long as you don't make any money, you should not worry about that. The tax and everything will worry about you when you really make meaningful money. And I think at the level where you start as a location independent entrepreneur with no like back funding, VC or anything, you should not worry about those things, I think, to start.
Yeah.
Your time is better spent really on just the research and getting the product, getting the suppliers and making your website run smoothly.
And making the first sale, right?
Exactly.
Like, you've been traveling and, you know, trying out different like e-commerce ventures and, you know, leaving your 9-to-5 job. Did you have a savings when you first started? From the next company, did you just continue to move the money again and again to these new ventures?
Yeah, so I had had some savings, of course, before leaving my job, and it was not 9-to-5, it was more like, I don't know, 8-to-10 or 8-to-12 or something like this. And so I did not have pressure to make money directly from the get-go, which maybe might be an inconvenience, because if you feel you push against the doors, and you might work harder or not work harder, but work smarter in a way to directly make the first sale, whereas my goal was more into the long term to build a real business, you know. So I was lucky that I could rely on my savings and that the Swiss franc is pretty strong. So
that's great. Yeah, that's a good currency to have in the bank account. Yeah,
it's true.
Today, I just wanted to bring this up because that just tripped my mind, is that actually the U.S. elections just happened, and the person we never thought would have been elected president got elected president.
It's absolutely crazy.
Do you think it's going to change like international markets? I mean, is there going to be an effect, do you think, Donald Trump being president on businesses and stuff like that? Because I heard that the stock market already crashed. Is there anything that you can put in on that idea?
Well, I'm not an expert in politics or anything, but definitely the market pricing that Clinton will win, so that's why there was such a shock in the market,
right.
And the currency dropped a lot. But I think in the long term it's business as usual,
yeah.
You know.
Cool.
So before the election in the option trading markets, it was business as usual. Nothing changes, you know. Now the event is there, and then things will go back to normal, I think.
Great.
I think maybe for some countries like Russia will be very beneficial, because I think the US will then try to do better relationship with the Russians. So.
So we'll just wrap up this podcast. Last question here is, what's your favorite part about like being a digital nomad, being a location independent entrepreneur? Like, what really just like tips it off for you? What makes you feel happy about it?
That's a very difficult question, but I think compared to my old job, where I was meeting the same people every single day,
yeah.
I think the most exciting part is meeting new people every single day and from so many different backgrounds. So So I used to be in finance. I would meet only finance people, consulting people, and now I meet artists, I meet designers, I meet entrepreneurs, I meet like dropshippers, I meet so many different type of people, so it really opened my mind.
That's awesome, Alan. Well, great. Thank you so much for being on our podcast and sharing your story with our audience. And really, really glad to hear that you're kind of living, you know, your dream life and you're living in your paradise, which is really wonderful.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to check out Dropship Lifestyle, which is the online course we were talking about, our link is ecommerceparadise.com/dropshiplifestyle. So you can check it out or just go to our blog to check that out.
Yeah. And how can people contact you if they want to get in touch with you?
I guess you can contact me directly by email, alanwalder@gmail.com.
Okay, we'll put it in our show notes. Do you have any kind of blog or anything that you do publicly about your journey?
Actually, I don't run really a blog. Okay. I was focused on my businesses.
Cool. No problem. All right, well, that's nice. Great. And again, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Take care. Cool, man.